John 19:26-27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, he took her to his own home. Now I have to admit, when I reflect on the various different moments of the Passion of Christ, from the agony in the garden, the scourging at the pillar, the crucifixion, and all the different moments of the cross, I have to wonder if this might not have been one of the most painful moments. I have to wonder about this moment and Jesus encountering the women of Jerusalem on the way of the cross, if this might not have been one of the most agonizing moments. And I have to think to myself, if I ever found myself in a place where I was facing execution, would I want my mother there? I say with that really uncomfortable glare coming from over in the corner. But truly, was that a comfort to Jesus in his last moments? Or is that a source of more pain to him? Was that just another element of the passion? Knowing that someone who loved him so much was suffering all the more by seeing him go through this, was that just all the more excruciating? Was he comforted by seeing his mother there? And knowing that of all the people who hated him and reviled him and wanted him dead and were hurling curses and blasphemies, and all the people who were eagerly anticipating his imminent demise, there was at least one person there who loved him unfailingly. Though all of his friends abandoned him except for John, there was at least that one person there. Was that a comfort to him? Or knowing that every moment that she was there was breaking every fiber of her heart, was that tearing what was left of his apart? Was there some part of him that was thinking, "For God's sakes, woman, would you just go away?" Was there some part of him that said, "You know, John, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Now! Get on with it." Did he take comfort in having her there? Or was it agonizing? Knowing what she was going through. I don't know. Maybe both. Maybe in his final moments he had room for both. But in those moments of pain, and I'm not talking about excruciating pain. I'm not talking about death throes. I'm talking about irritation, anxiety, nuisance, maybe heartbreak. pain, we tend to lash out. We tend to be frustrated and anxious and anxiety-ridden, and we lash out. We speak out. We speak harshly. Sometimes we even lash out physically and strike out. Jesus didn't do that. In our gospel passion, when the people came to arrest Jesus, they said, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" He said, "I am." He invoked the name of God, and they fell flat on their backs because he invoked the name of God. He could have invoked the name of God and struck all of them dead. He could have called upon God, and God would have sent a legion of angels. We could have had another plague of the firstborn in Jerusalem. Anything could have happened. Like a lamb before his shears, Jesus was silent before those who attacked him. It's not until he gets upon the cross he starts speaking out. And the words that he says are not words of venom. They're not words of attack. They're not words of vengeance. They're words of concern. He speaks out in concern for his mother. Frankly, in concern for his friend. The only friend he has left. Everybody else has abandoned him. Everyone else is gone. They've all run away. Sometimes we find ourselves in similar positions. Everyone else is gone from us. Everyone else abandons us. If not in truth, we certainly feel it. Feel like we're all alone. We feel like there's nobody left. We feel like our boss, we feel like our friends, we feel like our coworkers, we feel like the people at church, like sometimes we feel like our pastors have turned against us, they've betrayed us, they're hurling insults at us. Sometimes we think they even want us dead. Sometimes, more than figuratively, and how do we respond? Are we like a lamb before its shears? Are we silent? You know, we're not like those martyrs in Kenya, where terrorists from Al-Shabaab broke into a college armed with assault rifles, started randomly shooting, and then grabbed up everybody and just asked if they were Christians and executed the Christians on the spot and sent out the Muslims. That's not our cross to bear. Thank God. Not today. Maybe someday. God forbid. But it might be. Though that's not our cross, we have a cross. It's not that one, but we have one. Each of us has a different cross. And it's our cross. And though it's not martyrdom, it's ours. And frankly, after carrying it for quite some time, it gets heavy. It gets old. And it wears on you. Whether it's your work or the people that you're with, your job, your friends, that old car that you just can't get rid of. You know what your cross is. And you know that you're called to take it up every day and deny yourselves and carry it. Because we're all called to do that. And we're called to do it in the spread of the gospel. And in doing so, we find ourselves in horrible moments. Because they hated Jesus. They killed him. And he warned us, if they hated me, what makes you think they're going to be fond of you? So why should we expect a warm reaction? Why should we anticipate warm fuzzies everywhere we go? We should not. We should anticipate their venom. We should anticipate their insults. We should anticipate their hatred and their death threats. We should know it's coming. We should think about what Christ did as he carried his cross. And as he carried his cross, like a lamb before its shears, Jesus was silent. But as he faced death, he was more than silent. See, he wasn't just silent. He reached out. Not only to the thief on the right, not only to those who were murdering him, but in what were some of his very final moments, he wasn't thinking about what happens next. He wasn't thinking, how am I going to draw my next breath? He wasn't thinking about, good Lord, my hands hurt. Wasn't thinking about, am I going to go into shock anytime soon? When will this stop hurting? How am I going to draw my next breath? I wasn't thinking any of that. Thinking, who's going to take care of my mother? How can I take care of my friend? In moments when people were reviling him, wishing him dead, he was better than silent. He was blessing others. In moments when people were actually in the act of executing them, he was blessing others. He was providing for his mother and the disciple whom he loved. When people are hurling insults at you, when they are doing their best to provoke you, to punish you, to revile you, and to hate you, are you satisfied with being silent? Or will you bless people? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.